All right, welcome back to Murphy's Law Podcast, special edition discussing our hearing from Monday morning with the Department of Health and Human Services. We were just discussing briefly Carl the Barber's case that our attorney was talking about here. Let's see what else he's got.
Well, the only thing that can happen there, Judge, is a reversal by the Michigan Supreme Court on that issue. And they put out it was a 4-3 decision, as are many important legal issues.
So what he's actually referring to is the state has made the point that they disagree with the state Supreme Court's 4-3 decision to yep. knock down the emergency powers of the Governor Act, which Carl DeBarber, he challenged that. So naturally, of course, they're going to disagree with that.
I decided by 4-3. Effectively, Judge, if the 1945 is good law, that case, then so too must the court follow that in this case as stare decisis. But I don't think we can do both. I don't think we can respect the stare decisis of 1945, but find that this statute is not an improper delegation or a non-delegation from the legislative branch. And I think that the legislature does not intend to delegate these powers. But in 1978, Judge, I don't think we had any pandemics at that time. It was just an upgrade from the 1918 law from the Spanish flu. I want to point something out, Judge, in the In Re Certified Question decision. It's on page 14 of that decision, in which Justice Viviano was talking about the 1918 law. 1918 was the pandemic. And in that case, Judge, there was a similar restriction as we have here, except that it related to public meetings. That's what the restriction was tied to, not necessarily the gathering of people. And that's such dangerous language, Judge. If I'm standing at the bus stop talking to somebody, that's two people, that's a gathering. That's what the order says from the director in
this
case.
Which is a great argument.
But what's of note, Judge, is that when you look at page 14 and they cite that statute, not only does it restrict public meetings, it then goes on to say that the order must be signed by the health commissioner and countersigned by the governor. So even back in 1919, Judge, they had somebody else having to weigh in on the statute in this case. And then it says that the action of the director of the Department of Health, whatever that title was back in 1919, he could not take that action, or she could not take that action, without the consent and approval of the Advisory Council of Health. So the legislature didn't carry that language over into the 1978 statute. Had they done so, the statute might have had more delegation legs, but it doesn't. The director is the sole decider of when and where and how these orders get issued. And it's indefinite. The 4 or 5 page order in this case has definitions. It can tell you when to close your indoor dining, the time, the collection of information. And none of that is in the statute.
All
the other matter
branch.
Is judges' remedies. I have a number of other health department cases involving schools and masks. And, you know, and the great concern is that the court would be taking away power to deal with a pandemic. I know this court takes it very seriously. I don't believe there are trials happening in your court because of the pandemic. So I know the court takes the health and safety and welfare of its citizens very seriously. But the idea becomes, when I argue this case, is that if you take the statute from the state of Michigan, that's it. We don't have any remedies. People will get sick. There'll be nursing homes with disastrous results. And that I just disagree with that, and it's not my opinion. For example, the executive branch still has the 1976 Emergency Management Act. Right now, the governor can declare an emergency, close the courts, close the schools, close restaurants, and that would be, it'd be lawful. And that's addressed in the In Re Certified Question case. But after 28 days, the legislature gets to weigh in.
That's where we fundamentally have disagreed from the beginning. Correct. Even when she issued the emergency orders, I'm sorry, the executive orders, we just knew that something wasn't right. How could this one person unilaterally do this forever?
Well, and not only that, it was a constantly moving target, as Dave pointed out. It was, we'll try this. Well, hang on, now this. Well, hang on, now this.
Right.
So you didn't know from day to day what the rules were. How do you follow that?
And we had no recourse. We had nowhere to go. We couldn't call up our legislature and said, hey, when the 28 days is up, we need you on our behalf to say, this is not helping, this is helping, or we need this relief, or we need that relief. We were never given that opportunity. And people forget that when she did the executive orders in March of 2020, she also, after 28 days, violated the EMA. And people forget about that. So they knocked down the EPGA, the Governor's Act, via the INRI certified questions in front of the state Supreme Court, knocks that out. Then they pivot to this health code, 333.2253.
Which, by the way, we've talked about is literally three paragraphs.
Yeah.
I mean, look it up. MCL 33.2253 is like three paragraphs and actually references the avian flu.
Yeah.
I mean, so
versus 45 pages, and I forget. I used to have the stats on how many words were even in that 45 versus 2253 that they're trying to use, like, to still use, honestly. Because today's Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
The State Board of Education had hearings today on a resolution citing this exact same thing that we just argued yesterday
is
unconstitutional.
Crazy. Well, and a lot of these very same issues are, if you haven't been following, are going before SCOTUS or went before SCOTUS on Friday.
Right.
And a lot of these same briefs that were filed and the same arguments made with the Supreme Court of the U.S. And it's going to be interesting to see what the findings are out of
that.
Because it's a lot of the very same issues.
I thought they were going to have them already.
I thought for sure.
I thought Monday morning they would have released them.
They said there was two coming today.
But they
didn't give any indication.
Well, we'll see, because not only that, it'll give guidance to thousands of cases and lawsuits that
nationwide
are out there. To speak nothing of what it will do in our state alone, further bolstering our case, because we already have the NRA certified question in our back pocket, which of course the state thinks was wrongly decided. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course they think that. If we win on this, they're going to turn around and say that this was also wrongly decided. So,
and don't think I didn't notice the fact that you had the suspended license.
There's actually three Easter eggs in that thing right there.
We'll talk about those.
So we'll come back to that.
Therein lies the balance that James Madison sought between the two, at least two of the branches of government. So that protection is there. Also under the Michigan Public Health Code, Judge, one section back from this section, this is 2253, the 2251 is the imminent danger section. So if the health department determines that there's an imminent danger, they can take action there. But that...
A lot of people actually don't know this, but we argued early on in this whole thing,
the imminent danger.
Yeah. They could not prove that there was imminent danger.
And still couldn't say.
Now, they can't and they never will. It's on record that we don't have...
They had no definition. They have no way of expounding upon imminent danger.
One of the greatest things was them having to admit on the record in one of our early hearings that there has been no contact tracing. And that stemmed from the whole thing about the imminent danger and all that nonsense. But let's take another quick break here, and we'll be right back.